Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Happy Friday to you all, or as I like to say, happy Fri-yay. You have made it. The end of the week is here. The weekend is near, and we are so glad you've allowed us to be a part of your Friday. On today's current sports, a lot to get to. Before I proceed and tell you what's on the docket for today, I want to give a big shout out to the man behind the glass, engineer of the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday edition of WKAR's current sports, Connor Mathis. How you feeling, man? You good? Are you staying warm? I mean, it's Michigan weather, right? I mean, 50 degrees one day, and then snowy, cold, and it's crazy windy outside the next. That's
there were,
Michigan.
There were tornadoes, apparently, warnings going out for that in southern Michigan. Michigan weather's crazy.
It's crazy. You just don't know. You know, it's like Tom Hanks, man, from Forrest Gump. It's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get from one day to the next. Well, I'm glad you're with us, Connor. We got a great show and a lot to talk about because the NBA trade deadline, I must admit, I thought that it was going to be more dramatic than it was leading up until the deadline hit at 3 p.m. yesterday. It was rather quiet. You know, that final hour, I was expecting to see, you know, at least two big moves made. That didn't happen. Of course, this Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers, that whole fiasco did not happen. And, you know, I'm seeing a report now, courtesy of the Bleacher Report, that Irvin Magic Johnson will actually be traveling to Philadelphia to meet with, I guess, the Philadelphia 76ers to clear up the drama that was AD to possibly the purple and gold. Now, that's interesting because we will also be talking about on today's current sports, of course, tomorrow evening's Michigan State men's basketball matchup as the Spartans play host to Minnesota. This, in my opinion, is a must-win game. Michigan State losers of three straight for the first time in 2 years. If Michigan State wants to have some kind of chance still competing for a Big Ten championship, you cannot lose to the Golden Gophers tomorrow. But not just the game is really the focal point, right? You know, that's the primary focal point. We all know that. But in addition to the game, this game is pretty special because members of the 1979 national championship team led by the great Irvin Magic Johnson and players like Greg Kelser as well, they will all be in town. Now, I'm wondering because after seeing this report from Bleacher Report, you know, that Magic will be traveling to Philly this weekend as well to handle business. But, you know, we were chatting before the hour, Connor, he's Magic Johnson. I'm sure Magic Johnson has his own private jet, so he'll fly into East Lansing and then if need be, you know, stay how long, you know, however long he wants to, and then just hop on that private jet and fly on out of the capital city over to Philly, home of Rocky. So he can do that. He's Magic Johnson. So I'm wondering what the timetable will be. Bottom line, he's a busy man, all right? And I know fans will certainly be excited to see him and other members of that 79 national championship team in the house. So we'll talk about Michigan State, Minnesota. We'll give you an update on the Joshua Langford injury. As many of you know, Joshua Langford is out for the season, a big loss for the Spartans. He has had surgery, and we now know what the timetable of Langford's recovery is. All right, so we'll bring that story to you. And speaking of that national championship team, not a lot of people know that there was also another national championship team that same year. Folks, the 1979 MSU cheerleading squad also won a national championship that same year. Our very own Scott Pohl got the chance to chat via Skype with one of the Spartan cheerleaders to talk about what that season was like, to talk about what that time was like for that squad. You don't want to miss that feature, trust me. And then on the back end of the show, we, of course, as we do each and every Friday, we will invite Blessed Body Fitness founder Johnny Lewis to get all up in your grill with another tip that you can use in the gym and in the kitchen when it comes to staying fit, staying in shape. I am so curious to know how many of your fitness goals that you had when that ball dropped for 2019, if they're still going strong. All right, because this is like usually the time when those goals become really lazy. Let's be real. The goals become lazy. You're like, all right, I got that goal, but, you know, maybe tomorrow. Then you keep pushing it off. Then you keep pushing it off. And the next thing you know, it's Saturday, and you have not worked out one time. So stay consistent, folks. Johnny will join us on the back end of the show to tell you how you can stay consistent, and he'll give you, a new tip that you can use in the gym and in the kitchen. All right? You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team. A tough loss last night on the road at Iowa. The number 23 team in the land, and the Spartans had its three-game win streak come to an end. An 86-71 loss by number 16, Iowa, in Iowa City last night. The Spartans were led by 20 points before freshman guard Nia Clouden, who has now reached the 20-point mark twice this year, both against Iowa. She scored a career-high 27 in the win against the Hawkeyes. Coming off the bench, guard Madrika Cook scored 12 points and added 5 boards. Junior guard Taryn McCutcheon, the local product from East Lansing High School, also had 11 points. The Spartans are now 16-6 this year, 6-5 in the Big Ten Conference. MSU will play Indiana on Monday night at the Breslin, celebrating National Women's and Girls in Sports Day. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team will play host to Minnesota at the Breslin tomorrow. And I got that wrong, actually. It's not an evening kickoff. That's a 2 p.m. tip time. So a little after afternoon for that one. So 2 p.m. against Minnesota tomorrow. The Spartans will enter this matchup losing 3 in a row for the first time in 2 seasons. The Spartans' most recent loss against Illinois earlier this week, in which the Spartans gave up 24 turnovers, 9 coming from Cassius Winston. The constant for the Spartans has been the rebounding. Spartans rank 13th in the conference in defensive rebounding and have allowed 32 offensive boards, though, across the last 2 games. Kenny Goins is the team's leading rebounder. Never thought I'd be saying that. Minnesota enters the contest losing 2 in a row from Purdue and Wisconsin. Tomorrow, the only meeting between MSU and Minnesota this year. And Josh Langford had surgery on his foot yesterday to fix the navicular bone in his midfoot. MSU will explore if it can petition the NC2A for Langford to get a 5th year of eligibility, even though he probably played too many games this year to meet the qualification for an immediate redshirt season. The timetable for Langford's return is, check it, 4 to 7 months. A long time. More on that injury update in just a moment as well. And tonight at 7:30 in Ann Arbor at Yost Ice Arena, the Michigan State hockey team will play in-state rival Michigan. The Spartans 4-1-2 over their last 7 games, tied with Michigan for 4th place in the Big Ten standings with 24 points apiece. The Wolverines are 4-4 over their last 8 games. Tomorrow, the rivals will face off again, but at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit at 7 p.m. All right, also, Michigan State could have 4 representatives in Indianapolis next month for the NFL Combine. The league announced that Justin Lane, L.J. Scott, Kari Willis, and Felton Davis III, who, of course, got injured in that rivalry matchup, Michigan State and Michigan early on, injuring his Achilles in that game. So good to see that Felton is back to some football action. But all 4 of those players received invites to participate in the scouting event at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Number 97 overall prospect Justin Lane is projected as a 5th to 7th rounder. Number 20th ranked running back LJ Scott is projected to go anywhere between the 6th and the 7th round. Number 11th ranked safety, Kari Willis, is projected to be a 7th rounder. And number 49th ranked wide receiver Davis is projected to go undrafted, which is so surprising to me, Connor, because Felton Davis III, before he got injured, you can make the argument that he was the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. It just goes to show you how fragile sports careers are. One injury can tremendously impact your future. That's really shocking that he's projected to go undrafted.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that's going to be. I mean, the closest thing I can remember is when Stephon Diggs, what, he break his leg or something when he was last year at Maryland. He was a first-round talent and ended up sliding to, like, the 3rd. I think Felton will end up getting drafted. Probably won't be until day 3, though. Probably a 3rd rounder, but he's a good value. If you can get him that low, I mean, yeah, that's a great value. He's a big receiver.
So you totally disagree with this?
I don't think he's going to be undrafted. I think someone is going to take him. He's too big for people to just be like, yeah, we'll chance it in the post-draft waivers.
Again, predictions coming from draftscout.com. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that it's an Achilles injury. And there are not a lot of athletes. There are some. Just ask Kobe Bryant, right? But there are not a lot of athletes who come back, especially when you play the game of football, from an Achilles injury.
Well, the other thing is, too, Felton Davis dropped a lot in the ranking after that injury. I believe he was ranked number 19, and then he drops all the way down to 49. So the talent's there. I don't understand. If you're a team, I don't think you should get, and you need a receiver that big, get the value pick. Don't gamble on post-draft waivers where, you know, a contender can snatch him up for nothing.
I think it all depends on how they're viewing that injury. We'll see, though. That's really shocking, though. Again, that prediction coming from draftscout.com. The Spartans' 4 invitations are tied with Iowa for 5th most in the Big Ten. Ohio State leads the conference, of course, with 10, followed by Wisconsin, who has 8, Penn State with 7, and Michigan with 6. And speaking of Michigan, former Michigan football assistant coach Pep Hamilton is back in professional football and will reportedly run his own team. Hamilton resigned from Michigan's coaching staff Monday after spending 2 seasons as the assistant head coach and passing game coordinator. And Hamilton's deal was announced on Thursday, and details of that deal have not been released. But the former Wolverines coach will be heading to the XFL, becoming the new head coach and GM of the XFL's Washington, D.C. franchise. How about that? The XFL, founded by the World Wrestling Entertainment's Vince McMahon, is currently scheduled to begin play in February of next year, so February of 2020. All right, the Las Vegas Golden Knights top the Winged Wheel in the Detroit Red Wings 4-3. Last night, snapping the Red Wings' 3-game win streak. It was the 300th game for Jeff Blashill, and Detroit was coming off a four-day layoff. The Wings looked sharp early, outshooting Vegas 14-7 in the first. Detroit finished with a 39-32 edge, actually, in shots. So, bottom line, Wings end up losing this one. The Wings will play their next 3 games away, facing the Sabres, Blackhawks, and the Predators. And the Detroit Pistons take on the New York Knicks this evening at home. The game comes after Detroit defeated the Knicks 105-92 on Tuesday at Madison Square Garden. Of course, a lot of moves happening with the, well, I should say, have happened when it comes to the Detroit Pistons. They will be without now forward Stanley Johnson, who was traded Wednesday to the Milwaukee Bucks for third-year center Thon Maker. Johnson was then sent to the New Orleans Pelicans yesterday for Nikola Mirotic. Johnson was drafted eighth overall, if you remember, by the Pistons in 2015, averaging 7 points a game in his first three seasons with the team. The Pistons will look to improve on a 24-29 record, and the Knicks are 10. Oh, my gosh, that's bad. Is this real? 10-43? Shows you how much Knicks basketball I've watched this year, Connor. 10-43.
They are awful.
That's like beyond
they
awful.
They are awful.
You know, there's levels.
There's the reason why Enes Kanter isn't on that team anymore. He did not want to be there. Oh, man. That's awful.
Do you think they'll hit 30 wins for the year?
Right now, right?
25?
The Bobcats, what was there that year? They had, 12, 15 wins? They might be challenging that. I didn't think I'd see that record fall in my lifetime, but these Knicks are horrendous.
They're bad. They're really, really bad. I feel for you, New York. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. We also got a new look today for our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below that live stream, and we'll get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can also tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet the show by tweeting at WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
This win, so important for guys to come home to their own arenas, get the game. Chandler again, less than 5 minutes played in this game. Rondo, bang.
All right, and that is how we begin our debate discussion period here on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. A lot of comments coming on our Facebook page right now. Before I proceed, I see that one of our dear listeners has a birthday today. Big shout out to Chris, who is turning 43 years old, a young 43 years old. Chris says, today is my birthday, Al, 43 years old. And then he says, wouldn't it be funny if Al sung me happy birthday live on the air? That would be funny. I don't have the pipes for that. No, yeah, maybe we could get the Stevie Wonder happy birthday. I'll have somebody with much better pipes than me, a legend. We'll get the Stevie Wonder happy birthday song. Connor, cue that up. He just chimed in my ear about that. And we got a lot more comments coming in. I'm going to get to a few because there's some interesting ones already, and we haven't even dove into the debate yet. I do want to address what happened last night. You just heard the call. Marv Albert, Chris Webber, and you guys know how I feel about C-Web announcing games. I'm not the biggest Chris Webber fan on the air. I think Chris is just incredibly corny, and he just states the obvious. But he was rocking the mic last night, as he usually does on a given Thursday for NBA coverage on TNT. It was such a fun night last night. That was a really entertaining Thursday in the world of professional basketball. You know, you had, for the first time, the NBA All-Star Draft. Yeah, draft happens now. Props to Adam Silver in the NBA for spicing this thing up because it was becoming so boring. You got the West versus the East, and it was really becoming old hat. So now what you have is whoever the two leading vote getters are when it comes to the All-Star vote from fans, those two players will have a draft out of the other players who have been voted as all-stars, out of the starters and reserves, all right? Those who had the top votes become the starters, and you can draft from the starters. They don't have to be a part of your conference to do so. And then the reserves who have been voted on by the league, you also have a draft for those players. And then there was a third round, and the two leading vote-getters this year was, of course, LeBron James, as he is just about every single year, right? The best basketball player on the planet, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks are playing out of their minds right now. So you had Giannis, and you had LeBron. Ernie Johnson kind of led it and coordinated everything on the air, and you had this really cool draft that was different. It was fun to see these two players crack a few jokes here and there and you know, take a few jabs at each other. You know, there was even a moment where, you know, LeBron is talking about Anthony Davis and picking Anthony Davis, and he says, no tampering here. And I think Giannis is the one who brought up the tampering word. They had some fun with it. You know, that was different. And then after that, you know, you had a really thrilling, really entertaining Los Angeles Lakers and Boston Celtics game that went down to the wire. And of all players to hit the game-winning bucket to propel the Lakers over the Celtics last night, a former Boston Celtics great and Rajon Rondo ends up nailing the game winner. The ball was fumbled around. It falls in his hands, and he hits it from the left block, free throw line, game over. And I didn't know this, and that's kind of, it's kind of hard to believe that was Rondo's first ever game-winning bucket at the buzzer. Can you believe that? So that was fun to watch. That was really fun to watch. And, you know, with the NBA's trade deadline, you know, there's a lot of takeaways from it. And I just briefly, before I dive into this whole Josh Langford injury and the surgery that was going to put him out for a long time, I do want to give you my winners and losers of the NBA trade deadline real quick here. Because there are some clear losers. No bigger loser, I believe, in this whole thing, which is why I believe this man has to fly from East Lansing then to Philly. No bigger loser than the Los Angeles Lakers, led by, of course, Magic Johnson. He's the guy in charge over there now. The reason why the Lakers are my biggest loser is because of how badly handled this Anthony Davis possible trade situation with the New Orleans Pelicans. How that situation was so badly mishandled. You know, the Lakers, I believe they lost a chance to really be relevant now this season. You know, and it will be, the Lakers organization will be in a weaker bargaining position once AD does become available after this season. There's going to be other teams in the mix now. You know, if you didn't land them here, you know, you've got other franchises like the Boston Celtics, who are going to make a hard run at Anthony Davis. And basically, and you saw what the Lakers did. They gave the Pelicans everything. They put all their chips on the table.
all their young superstars. I mean, Brandon Ingram was up. Kyle Kuzma was on the docket. Future draft picks on the docket. And you know what the Pelicans said? They said, that's not enough. And I think, in part, a lot of that had to do with the fact that LeBron James basically came out and tampered. Let's call it like it was. He came out and said, yeah, I would love to play with Anthony Davis. And if you're New Orleans, you had to feel some type of way. That's your superstar. You know, that's your guy. And you got the biggest voice in basketball saying that, you know, he wants to play with Anthony Davis and basically take him away from you. You got to feel some type of way about that. So it was in spite as well. But if the Lakers put all those chips on the table and still could not land Anthony Davis, what makes you think that they're going to land AD in the offseason then? You know, there's going to be a lot of teams out there who can bargain more effectively, I believe. And that's a big loss. It's going to be a big loss for the L.A. Lakers if they don't, in fact, land him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Another winner for me, this is a team you really got to look out for, the Philadelphia 76ers. Tobias Harris, sneaky, awesome acquisition there. Solid player. You know, first-year GM, Elton Brand, by the way, bold, decisive dude. You know, you now add Harris to Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Markel Fultz, let's keep it real. Markel Fultz, a great college player. I thought he was going to be a star when he came into the league, but, you know, injuries derailed him. Then he tried to figure out his jump shot. He was thinking too much. It just did not work. Good move to get rid of him, and you get now Tobias Harris, who is a great two-way player. Watch out for Philly. Also a winner. But you know, while the L.A. Lakers, I believe, are a loser in this respect, I also believe that the Pelicans are also a loser because it's just a matter of time now that you will lose one of the most dynamic players in the National Basketball Association in Anthony Davis. Simple as that. And where will he go? You know, I'm seeing that, you know, maybe New York is also an option as well. I'm seeing that float around. But, you know, interested teams will be taking a huge risk if they throw major assets to the Pelicans for what might be, and I say this as well, what might be a one-year rental. So you have to look at that aspect as well. But the fact, you know, you can't win when you are giving up a player as dynamic and game-changing as Anthony Davis. So the Boston Celtics will now enter the trade fiasco for Davis. You know, and Boston, if he does not play in Boston, maybe New York is on that docket as well. I'm seeing that those are a lot of rumors out there. So, you know, and this is another thing too. When you look at New York, we're making fun of New York right now for only having 10 wins on the year. But if you remember, that's where Kevin Durant wants to go. That's like at the top of the rumor right now. Kevin Durant is really intrigued of what it would be like in playing in a big market, a big city with a franchise that, again, hasn't been good for a long, long time, but has some rich history in the New York Knicks. Durant likely wants to go there, and in a dream scenario, that may lure Kyrie Irving to also join the NYC party, which may also intrigue AD to go to New York. So that's why you're starting to see these AD to New York rumors pop up as well. So New York may be a winner in this whole thing. And last but not least, the Washington Wizards, a big loser here. John Wall got injured at the crib, homie. At the crib, Connor. He wasn't even playing the game of basketball. He may have been mopping the floor, maybe slipped or, you know, maybe feeding the dog in the basement somewhere and fell down the stairs. Who knows what happened? I don't know if the details have ever come out about this, but John Wall got injured in the friendly confines of the most friendliest place on earth for human beings at home. So you lose John Wall out for at least a year, and then you trade Otto Porter Jr. to Chicago for basically, you know, a bag of free peanuts on a flight. I don't know how you win. And then I believe also they traded Markieff Morris to the Pelicans. So
the Wizards are a big loser here. I wouldn't want to be a Washington Wizards fan right now. It's got to be really depressing, Connor.
Couple things. I think Lebatar was the one who brought it up, but have you noticed these mysterious player injuries at home? I really would love to know what happens, because it seems to be a trend. The Wizards already had John Wall, I think, out for the year before this. I think the Achilles injury just made it so that he wasn't coming back at the beginning of next year. He's now coming back in February of next year. But I don't mind the Otto Porter for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. I think Jabari needed a different outlook team wise. And I don't think Bobby Portis is the worst thing for the Wizards. I mean, they finally get a little bit younger, because let's face it, having a Morris brother be your permanent power forward isn't, you know, the greatest thing on earth. And I think they overpaid for Otto Porter, so I don't mind that move so much. I think they're just trying to make themselves somewhat competitive without John Wall.
They're looking down the road. Because they signed Porter, as you just mentioned, Connor, to a 4-year, $106.5 million contract.
Yeah, Porter ain't worth that.
In 2017. Otto Porter is not worth that amount of money. So, you know, maybe they go into full rebuild mode. Maybe they trade Bradley Beal in the offseason. I don't know. We'll see. I think if they want to, right now, what would be in the Wizards' best interest is just look down the road and just see if you can nail some of these big-time draft picks in the future. So, all right, let's hit our first break. When I come back, we're going to address the Josh Langford injury and the timetable that we have been given from Tom Izzo when it comes to his recovery. We'll dive briefly into Michigan State and Minnesota, give you our thoughts on that. We've basically been talking about that all week. We'll also welcome two of our current sports reporters, beat reporters, to talk about some new content that is on our website at WKAR.org. We'll do all of that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I feel like, Connor, a lot of Michigan State men's basketball fans are still in shock a little bit right now because of the Josh Langford news. Josh Langford is out for the year. We all know that. But it seemed like, you know, Michigan State could still tread water at least while he was gone, and still be one of the most competitive teams in the Big Ten while he was gone. I mean, heck, Michigan State still went on a pretty impressive win streak after he got injured in late December, December 29th to be exact, against Northern Illinois. After he got injured, Michigan State just kind of rallied and said, all right, let's figure some things out, made a few adjustments, more minutes had to go to other guys, and they played well. But it seems like when the official news came down that Josh would no longer be returning this year, is like this team is just lost. And Izzo admitted it yesterday. During his media availability yesterday after practice for Michigan State at the Breslin Center, Tom Izzo did say that the injury to Josh Langford has done something mentally to us. This is exactly what Tom Izzo said. I'll direct quote him. Quote, two of the players came in yesterday and told me that had a real blow to them and the team in the locker room. He goes on to say, quote, in this day and age when everyone is so selfish, I never think that way. But I think that tells you a little bit of what they think of Josh and who Josh is. So Izzo is admitting here that our players did have a reaction that may have had some effect on the way they've been playing on the hardwood. Bottom line,
And this is a long time, folks. I did not anticipate it was going to take this long for Josh to recover. Bottom line, Josh Langford is out anywhere from 4 to 7 months. This is a big blow. Now, the timing of this injury does leave a possibility that this year could be deemed as a medical redshirt season, and that Langford, a junior this year, could receive a fifth season of eligibility come 2020-2021. Per the NCAA rules, players are ineligible for a medical redshirt if they play in more than 30% of their team's games. Michigan State's total number of games right now is unknown because, obviously, the season is still taking place. We don't know what's going to happen come March. You got to add up the math when that time comes. But this is a long time for Josh to be out, and it is going to take some time for Josh to get back into basketball mode. So, I mean, he's losing months here. You know, the earliest of that timeline, the 4 months, we'll put him back in June, smack dab, you know, in the summer, in time to practice for the summer practice session. The latest, which is 7 months, would have him out until the team's preseason practices for 2019-2020. So, big blow. All I'm going to say, Connor, about the Minnesota game, because we've talked about it in exhaustion this week. You know how I feel about how Michigan State is playing right now. It is panic mode time. This is a must win. If there is a must win right now on this schedule that you look at, this has to be it. Because if you lose against Minnesota, you can kiss any chance of winning the Big Ten goodbye. It is done. You have dug yourself too big of a hole. You look at how Michigan is playing. You look at how Purdue is playing. Heck, and they haven't even played Michigan or Wisconsin just yet. So you've already lost to teams that you should have beaten in Indiana and Illinois. If you don't win on Saturday, you think it's bad. Now, it really, really gets bad. As far as my prediction for the game, gosh, we've been saying Michigan State was going to win for the last three games, right? I'm not going to give one. I'm going to say unknown. I'm not giving a prediction. It's a waste of time. You know, who cares what I think is anyway when it comes to predictions? Predictions are predictions. Do you think Michigan State pulls itself out? I just don't know, Connor. I don't know. And I think me saying I don't know says more than me saying they're going to win or lose.
I think they have to pull it out. Whether it's going to be they finally wake up and beat the mess out of Minnesota, or if they, you know, eke by with a 3-point win or a 2-point win or a 1-point win, you know, they need to have this win. I think they're still going to beat them, even though Minnesota the past couple of years has found ways to play State close. I think they should get their act together. If they, again, like we said on Wednesday, if they go back to what worked at the beginning of the season, feed your bigs early, get them their touches, then you can go out to your jump shots and build from there. Figure out what works, but they need to go back to feed the bigs and then work out from there. That's when the team was at their best. That's when opposing teams were struggling to keep up with them. They just need to get back to the basics, kind of calm down. You're at home. You have a good home. You have a good home crowd.
Right, right.
They need this game bad.
It comes down to one player. Nick Ward has to show up. If he does not show up, and he's on a milk carton right now. Nick Ward is absent. He's lost. I don't know where he is, man. I don't know where Nick Ward is. If he does not show up again on Saturday, they will lose. I do know that. I do know that, man.
If Nick Ward doesn't show up and the other bigs don't step up, I mean, I don't even think it's that.
You need Nick Ward to play well. If you don't, Kenny Goins has been playing well. He's been. Xavier Tillman will give you great minutes, but if Nick Ward doesn't show up, mark my words, Michigan State will lose. If he does, if he gives you a good 15 to 17,
see, I don't even think he needs. Win. I don't even think he needs points. I think he just needs like those hustle plays that like Kenny Goins is known for, just getting on the ground, getting rebounds, doing the dirty work. He doesn't need the points because I think the points will fill in if he does the big man dirty work that we're kind of used to seeing out of Michigan State bigs.
We'll see, listeners. Phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. You can comment on our Facebook page. A lot of comments coming in there at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Before I hit this final break, I do want to welcome back one of our current sports beat reporters who just joined us yesterday. And welcome for the first time on the show, a new voice, a new face who will be helping our coverage throughout the semester. Again, leading up to May, our partnership, our five-year partnership now with Journalism 418, led by the great Joanne Gerstner, Professor Joanne Gerstner. We have been partnering with the College of Communication Arts and Sciences now for that long, and we've had some great students come through to help out current sports. And this latest batch is they seem like a great group, and I'm looking forward to working with them throughout the semester. So we welcome back today for this Friday edition of Current Sports, Samantha Bazarico, and we also have Amanda Poole here for the first time. All right. First off, thank you guys for coming on the show today. How are you? Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Without a doubt. And all I want to do right now is, for you, Sam, I wanted to kind of just talk about your very first story, because I think it's awesome, and it's already been getting a lot of clicks on our website, because you came on yesterday and already told us about yourself and where you're from and your beat for this semester, and your beat, I believe, is adaptive sports, right?
Yes, yes.
And the first story you have isn't your normal current sports read. It's actually a visual piece. You did a video piece on MSU adaptive sports. Tell us a little bit about that and what people can learn about adaptive sports with this first piece.
I wanted to do a video piece just because I feel like adaptive sports is such a visual concept, and a lot of people don't really know that we even have an adaptive sports club. So I just reached out to the director, and he let me come to a wheelchair hockey practice, and then I ended up going to Jenison, where they just did adaptive sports, and we played like basketball and like ping pong and stuff like that. So they have many different sports that anyone can join. They go Monday through Friday and on Sunday. So there's like so many opportunities for people that have physical disabilities to get involved. And talking to a lot of the members, that's one of the main things that they were really happy about, because some an MSU student that goes here, he has kids, and he mentioned that he can't go during the weekday, so it's nice for him to come on Sunday. So I think that was a pretty cool concept.
And you had the schedule embedded in there as well, right below the video.
Yes.
You can check out the schedule for those who watched the piece and are like, oh, man, that was awesome, Samantha. I want to join that club. You can check out the schedule and join. But it's awesome. I mean, you got visuals of them playing wheelchair hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about wheelchair basketball as well. But it is great stuff. Again, if you want to check out Samantha's piece, simply go to WKAR.org. You can click actually radio and click the current sports tab, and that'll take you right to all of the content that we post from our beat reporters. And the headline is MSU Adaptive Sports and Recreation Club Creating Community. Awesome job, Samantha. Thank you so much. For the first time, since this is your first time on, Amanda, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, why you wanted to dive into journalism, and what you're covering? I know that's a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot. I'm Amanda, obviously. I'm from Toledo, Ohio, 419. Shout out.
All right, 419.
And I'm really interested in sports journalism, journalism in general. My dad's a police officer, so like the whole media portrayal of that concept kind of like drew me to journalism, if that makes sense.
Okay, gotcha.
And also because I really enjoy writing and talking to people, so that's exactly what journalism is.
Right.
So
what about the sports aspect? What really clicked when it comes to sports and made you say, man, I really want to try covering sports?
Well, my dad was like a really big, he went to Michigan State, and he was a really big Spartan person. So I like grew up on Michigan State sports, being a fan of them. And then also I played sports in high school. So it's just always been a part of my life.
That's awesome. Your beat is really interesting.
Oh, because, yeah. Tell me about it.
You know, I took a break from gaming a while ago. And just recently, I think, and we talk about this on the air all the time, Connor, in like the last 2 years, I've fallen in love with it again because it's like a release. You are covering gaming, esports, basically, yep, which is becoming so big. There's a huge hub here at Michigan State for esports. Tell us a bit about that first story that you have right now on our website.
Well, if you guys were like me and didn't know what esports was until this moment right now, just letting you know, it
really,
is video gaming. I did not.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, right? Wow. But no, it's really cool, actually, and it's huge. So MSU has this esports association, and then under that, that's like the umbrella, like I guess, like, association. And then there's a bunch of teams, which each team is a different game. Mm-hmm. I could list them off to you and sound very intelligent, but I feel like I'm going to mess them up.
You don't want to take that risk right now, right? Okay.
Yeah. But it was really cool just seeing all the different people and all the different groups and how they all just do what they like to do and they have fun with it. And I didn't realize how big of a community it was until I started talking to them and realizing that it's actually a huge structured, you know, organization that they want to do so much more and they're just getting started.
Definitely. It's a really awesome piece. Again, if you want to check out Amanda's reporting, it's her first story is entitled Michigan State's Esports Association Works to Improve Culture and Inclusivity. You attack it just not from the video game aspect of it, but also how they're including everybody. It's really cool stuff. 10 teams. Fortnite. I know you're a big fan of Fortnite, Connor. Fortnite. Some of these games I've never heard of.
I know, me too.
Right? It's like Hearthstone, StarCraft, Rocket League, League of Legends. That's a big one. Fighting games as well. Rainbow Six Siege. So it's deep, man. It's deep. I don't know if you're that good to join
Rocket
that league.
Rocket League's the only one I play, and I'm not even that good. One of my good friends is in like the Rocket League club, and he's probably like the bottom of that.
Really? Okay. Gotcha. All right. So your skills are
none of those.
All right. Samantha, Amanda, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate that. Again, if you want to check out their content and content from all of our beat reporters, simply go to WKAR.org. Let's start our final break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. Don't go anywhere. All right, got some news I want to pass along to you all real quick before we welcome Johnny Lewis to the show. Guard Wayne Ellington is closing in on a commitment to sign with the Detroit Pistons. That is just breaking. Well, it broke around 1:10 p.m. courtesy of this brother's everywhere when it comes to NBA news, right? Adrian Wojnarowski. Wayne Ellington, he is one of the top available players in the post-trade deadline buyout market, and Detroit would score a significant recruiting victory in signing him. That's what the piece reads. So the Pistons are selling Ellington and replacing a bulk of the playing time that opened up with the trade of Reggie Bullock to the Lakers. So Wayne Ellington close to signing with the Detroit Pistons, that breaking a little after we began the show.
That's a good pickup.
I think that's a great
pickup. He was good for the Heat, stepped up for the Heat.
I agree.
Cost a little too much money for the Heat, but, you know, he's a good shooter.
This will be a great addition, especially now that Reggie's gone. Reggie Bullock is gone. I wish it was Reggie Jackson, but it's Reggie Bullock. All right, do we have Johnny ready? All right, it is time for another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Fitness founder Johnny Lewis. As every single Friday, he joins us here on the hour of current sports to give you guys some motivation, you know, when it comes to you know, trying to stay consistent in the gym, but also realizing that it's just not about working out. It's also about making sure you're doing work in the kitchen as well. All right, it's twofold, folks. You can't have one without the other. So here we go. It is now time for Blessed Body Fit Fridays with trainer Johnny Lewis.
My own friends, and we just want to pop your off.
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press,
a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in. But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute ad, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
All right, it's time for Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis, who joins us now live from the West Coast, Arizona, to be exact. Johnny, how you doing, my man?
What's up, Al? I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
Oh, we could be doing much better with this weather, dude. I'm so incredibly jealous of you right now, man. It's snowy, it's cold, it's windy, but hey, we're alive, all right? And it's always a good day when you're alive, right?
That's all that matters,
man. All right, let's dive right into it. I know you want to tackle something that has become the slogan of one pretty big gym that is national. They talk a lot about gym intimidation, and I'm talking about Planet Fitness. That's become like their slogan, right? Gym intimidation. And you want to dive into that. There's a lot of layers to it that you want to tackle. I'll just let you go at it, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Al, I know you go to Planet Fitness from time to time. I mean, you know, I used to have a Planet Fitness membership, so I know all about the gym intimidation.
Right.
I never had the gym intimidation myself, but I know it's real.
Well, what exactly is it, first off, for those that don't know what it is?
Okay, so gym intimidation is basically when you get intimidated by either people at the gym or if you don't know how to use equipment or whatever, you know, it's just you don't feel comfortable at the gym for whatever reason. And there are some people that can make people feel more uncomfortable. Definitely people that are really experienced and may make a lot of noise. And today I just want to focus on what to do if you do have gym intimidation. And there's also a option to work out at home, correct?
Definitely, always.
So I just want to give some tips for people who are not quite ready to hit the gym but still want to get started on their workout journey.
Okay.
So one tip that I have, the biggest tip is to write down your workout routine on a poster board or whiteboard. And you can get this, you got to be resourceful with it. You can get it from a trainer, from a friend, from online. Get an at-home workout routine, write it on a poster board, and there's four essential things that I suggest that you grab. And one of them is, first and foremost, that exercise mat / yoga mat, because most of the people that I train, no matter what they're trying to do, you want to do ab workouts because you're going to work on your core and your gut. Number two is the jump rope, because that's a way where you can stay in place. You can jump rope anywhere and get a good cardio vascular workout. Number three is the resistance band, because with the resistance band, you can work out any muscle on your body if you got the right range of motion, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And lastly is small dumbbells. These are probably the most expensive out of the list, because the other three you can get maybe under $10 at Walmart. These may be maybe $20 on average, depending on what size you get, but they're also good to have if you want to get a little weight training or maybe even lightweight training. So those are four essentials that I suggest people grab, that anybody who has gym intimidation that wants to work out at home, those are four things that you can grab to make your workout easier.
That's awesome, Johnny. And you know what? Writing your workout routine on a poster board or a whiteboard, that one keeps you organized, right, and ensures that you're varying up your workout so that you're working different areas of your body. I love that. And also, when it comes to the dumbbells, I'm wondering what kind of weight would you recommend for somebody who wants to do this and make a purchase?
You kind of got to gauge yourself. You got to judge yourself, because if you go to like a Walmart and you see some 5-pound dumbbells, let's say for a middle-aged woman that just wants to tone her arms, 5 pounds would be great. She probably doesn't need more than five. But for someone, maybe like a 25-year-old male that isn't really used to working out but wants to tone his arms, he might need a little bit heavier weight, maybe like 10, 15, maybe even 20-pound dumbbells. And so for someone like me, I use 40-pound, 40, 45.
I thought you were about to say 70, Johnny. I thought you were going to say 70 for you.
I can go that high, but you know I'm all about reps. So
right.
40, 40, 45, I can get like 100 reps in easy.
My goodness. Just put us all to shame, Johnny. I totally hear you, man. All right, well, let's talk about, with 5 minutes left here, I'm really excited about this because, again, you give us a tip in the gym and also one that we can use in the kitchen. And you want to talk about the post-workout smoothie.
Oh, yeah. So I want to go with the post-workout because that's the best time of the workout when you're done with, right?
That's true.
And everybody's
true.
Excited. Everybody's hungry after the workout. So let's talk about the smoothie. Today I want to highlight a berry smoothie. I've been talking about green smoothies in the past, but I want to just talk about the benefits of berry smoothies. Of course, berries are super fruit, have antioxidants that can that are good for your heart, cancer fighting. Fiber, good for digestion. If you throw protein with the berry smoothie, that's a muscle build recovery, electrolytes. I always add like a banana to add potassium. Mm-hmm. And it's packed with vitamins. And I'm not sure if we have time to go over the ingredients, but I'll just run through it real quick. Just coconut water, mixed berries, preferably frozen. I like to add chia seeds, spinach, and like I said, protein is optional. If you're eating protein powder, then feel free to add that. And it's very healthy and light, low in calories. So great post-workout meal, great for recovery and muscle build.
I love that. It sounds yummy. Johnny, thank you so much for another edition of Fit Fridays. And just real quick, just give a word to our listeners out there, because I feel like the gyms are kind of, fizzling out just a little bit. And maybe there's some people out there who are becoming a little bit lazy. And those goals that they had to start 2019, they keep pushing it off. You know, tomorrow I go, or, you know, maybe the next day. Just a word of motivation for those out there listening, man.
The word of motivation today is you can do it. Work out anywhere, no matter where you are. Whenever you can get that extra burn in, do it. Take the stairs instead of elevators. Do push-ups or sit-ups in your home while you're watching Netflix. The results will come. Trust me, just stay consistent.
I love it, man. I love it. And I love that you tackled in today's segment how you can work out at home, because you know, especially with this weather, a lot of people just want to stay in and watch Netflix, but you can work out at home. Johnny, thank you so much, man. Great job as always, brother.
All right, thanks for having me, Al. Stay blessed.
Always stay blessed, my man, Johnny. That was awesome. Great tips there. All right, with 1 minute left. We usually close out the show by just reflecting on the week a bit and giving you our favorite moments of the week, maybe in the sports world or maybe not in the sports world. You got anything, Connor, man? Favorite moment of the week, man?
It's more of a reflection. Pistons fans, if you want to rebuild, don't complain when you get rid of remedial players for building for the future. Please. I'm really getting sick of seeing that on Twitter.
The complaining, huh? I hear you. For me, definitely this trade deadline fiasco between the LA Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Yeah, just that was crazy stuff. All right, folks, we'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.